This is Steph at theshireonline.com. Next up, Voices in the Valley. But first, direct from the farm store in Stillwater, Minnesota, it's Nature's Notebook with Rebecca Coles. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
Stephanie, how are you? I'm doing wonderful.
Oh, I'm doing just great, too. So tell me, what is going on outside with this March weather?
Well, you know, March is one of these finicky months of the year. I like to call it the month of seasonal disorders because March never knows what it wants to do or what it wants to be. I mean, we see winter, we see spring, we feel summer, we feel it all. And so what's going on is we have, you know, old man winter is up there duking it out with Mother Nature, who's trying to breathe in some fresh new life into the area. So between the two, we get this combination of wild, weird weather. And this is something we've been experiencing since Minnesota has been here. So,
wow.
So not a lot of changes in what to expect in March, but typically, spring begins, well, not typically, it does. It begins this year, March 20th, at 4:45. But what happens in Minnesota is that spring doesn't always happen the way it's supposed to because we're so far north. So just to give you some examples, the average high will climb about 15 degrees for the month of March. So Stephanie will start out at freezing temperatures just above that at about 34 degrees. That's about the average high. By the end of the month, we're pushing 50 degrees. So a nice little spread. It's getting warm. It's starting to feel good. Of course, with that spread and when it's like inching and flirting with the 30s, snow is not out of the question.
Oh, I don't want to hear that, Rebecca. Don't say snow. That's a four-letter word we don't allow on our show. But
but the nice thing about March snows, those are the beautiful snowfalls, the ones with the big, fluffy flakes. Well, they're not so fluffy because they're really heavy. But because of the temperatures in the atmosphere, typically warmer, that's when we get those big, beautiful, classic snowflakes that you just want to, you know, catch with your tongue as you're out walking around. Now typically, we'll get about 10.2 inches of snow.
So oh, my goodness. And that's all in March?
That's all in March.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the third month with the third snowiest month of the year. So even if those snowstorms do come, the beauty is that we are trending upwards, which
means
the
ground is
getting
that.
Warmer. Yeah, so if it snows, you know what? It's going to melt quickly.
So,
right? So that's extra water.
So, Rebecca, here is my question, and then I want to hear what's going on at the farm store. So I have a goat that's losing her cashmere fur just left and right. So is it all warm, do you think, in the next couple of weeks?
Well, it's not all that warm. We will have breaks. But, you know, animals have a built-in body barometer, and a lot of it is dictated by light, the light that we have outside. So as the days start getting longer, naturally the temperatures start getting warmer, and animals really react. So my dog has been shedding, in fact, shedding earlier. So that would indicate that they know something we don't, that perhaps it's not going to be brutally cold, and maybe that brutal cold is gone. But I have to say that the coldest we've ever seen in March is 32 below zero. That was in 1962.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Rebecca, you know what? We are stopping right there with your dog shedding and my goat shedding. We're not even going to talk about weather that's colder than that. And instead, I would love to hear about a warm day where I'm walking down the sidewalk of Stillwater and I'm going into the farm store to buy all kinds of things.
Yeah, come visit us. We've got a lot of new things growing there. And just be prepared, middle of April, we have 200 baby chicks that will be chirping away inside the farm store. And we will have Baby Farm Animals Weekend, which we will keep you updated.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Stay tuned for Voices in the Valley, a production of the Shire Literary Center, following our local student news.
Thanks to Water Street Inn for sponsoring Nature's Notebook with Rebecca Coles. Sweet dreams are never more inviting than at Stillwater's only waterfront hotel. Victorian suites, special attention to details, modern amenities. Find out more at waterstreetinn.us.
Hello, I'm Rebecca Edwards, a Mottaminai High School student, reporting the student news for Voices in the Valley. A Stillwater High School student has been chosen as one of six to play at the McPhail Music Center for music's concerto and aria concert on March 13th at 3:30, so come to show your support. Stillwater will partner with Valley Outreach during the Minnesota Food Share March campaign. Downtown parking ticket fines will be forgiven in exchange for 10 non-perishable food items, which is a pretty great deal, I think we can all agree. Music St. Croix is currently presenting a concert called Encore Encore. The concert will be performed at 7 p.m. on March 18th at the Washington County Historic Courthouse in Stillwater. The concert features 15 pieces. The tickets are $16 at the door and $10 for students and seniors, and that's also a pretty great deal. Stillwater will be hosting the 11th annual Outdoor Games for Minnesota Hockey Day in 2017, which is a huge honor. On another note, there is a lost cat in Stillwater. It has been missing since the 7th. It is 2 years old, male, it's a short-haired orange tabby, 8 pounds, and it has a red collar. He is very friendly, and his name is Loki. If you see him, please contact 651-271-7269 and return him to his owners. Thank you.
Local student news sponsored by Partners for Hope Tanzania. Become a partner for hope in someone's life in Tanzania, East Africa. Partners for Hope Tanzania is a direct sponsorship organization based in Stillwater that supports individuals and families in Tanzania with tuition sponsorship, microloans for women, and mobile health clinics. You can become a direct sponsor by visiting our website at partnersforhopetanzania.org or visit us at our Fair Trade Shop in the Staple Mills Building, 402 North Main Street. Plant seeds of hope in someone's life by becoming a partner for hope.
Today's episode of Voices in the Valley is sponsored by real estate consultant Wendy Gimple. Inventory is at an all-time low right now. If you're thinking of moving, there's no better time to sell. Go to WendyGimple.com to see how Wendy's skills and expertise can help your real estate experience exceed your expectations.
Paperback Writer.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. During the show, student writers and professional authors share tips, offer inspiration, and read selections from their work. I am Steph at theshireonline.com here with my BFF, best friend forever, Dina Livingston.
Hello.
It's nice to have you here again, Dina. I'm glad you're not mad at me from previous episodes.
One.
Yes. And we have our producer, Jenna, who makes everything happen and keeps me on time.
Hello.
I'm really excited, too, because we have a very special guest who is going to be joining us today. And in fact, usually at this time, I talk about how we're in the middle or at the end of our 12-week episode, our series on how to write a novel. But I'm going to skip all of that. Y'all know who have listened before. You can go to theshireonline.com or to klbbradio.com and listen to past episodes and podcasts on how to write a novel. But today, we have Alan Frechtman who is joining us, and I couldn't be more delighted. He has had quite a distinguished career that has included being a part of Prairie Home Companion, and he is the current stage manager at the Fitzgerald Theater. So, Alan, I could not be happier to have you on the air. Welcome.
Well, it's great to be here in downtown Stillwater, where you'll always find parking, and except, of course, on weekends and during the summer, where it's just
okay, I got to stop there because I like to plug Stillwater for the beautiful place it is. So, Alan,
I was going to eventually.
Just tell me. So tell me about how you became involved with Prairie Home Companion, because you were there sort of from the beginning. At the beginning, weren't you?
Or? No, I'm not that old. It started in 1974, July 6th, 1974, at McAllister College, and it was actually 12 people showed up, and only, and I think half of them were kids, and so that's where it started. I was actually still kind of in school at that time, high school, just getting out of it, I actually met up with Garrison in Brooklyn, New York, my hometown.
Okay. And how did that happen, and how did you get on the show?
Well, I was working as a part-time stage crew member of Brooklyn Academy of Music, and I would do that as well as work with my dad as a window dresser. doing what Rhoda did.
Oh, all right.
On Mary Tyler Moore show. And when I had, that was seasonal work, and when that was done, I'd call the call Brooklyn Academy Music and say, hey, I'm available, so just let me know, and I'll come down and work. And one of the shows I got put on was American Radio Company of the Air.
Oh.
With Garrison Keillor. He had just come out of retirement. He took a year off, went to Denmark, and looked into buying some IKEA stuff there long before they came over here. And it was a different show. It had a huge band.
Okay.
The Coffee Club Orchestra.
Oh, I love that name.
Yes, with Rob Fisher as the conductor. And it also did not include the stories from Lake Wobegon in the beginning.
Oh, how interesting. So what is it like to work on a weekly show like Prairie Home Companion?
Well, for the most part, during the week, you have Garrison, who's off on his own, writing the scripts and taking in some submissions. He has a few contributors who send him stories or just doing research for him about a specific topic. And he's off writing. Generally, we don't really get started until Thursday. We will get ready to either start setting up the stage or just getting stuff that needs to be done. If Garrison were to ask for a special prop, people don't realize it's a very visual show. If you've ever gone to the Fitzgerald or any theater to see Garrison live, we've got a set. We've got a house. Well, only the front part of the house. But and occasionally Garrison, even if it's a certain holiday time of year, he'd like it decorated. We spruce it up for Christmas, the holidays. And, of course, who do they ask to do it? The former window dresser. And I get to do it. And to be honest, I love it. Even I'm Jewish, but I get a lot of joy out of it. And over 40 years being that successful with 4.5 million people listening every week.
That works.
Amazing.
It works. Okay, so I just have to insert, you know, we have an audio drama team here at the Shire. And we have a group of students, 9 students, who have written a radio play that's going to be aired on April 9th. And there was not one personality that dominated that one. That was a true group collaborative endeavor to write the script. And just actually, it was Saturday. We had tryouts and auditions for who was going to get what roles. And later in the show, Adam and Emma are going to interview you. And they are from the audio drama team, and they auditioned. So we'll have some fun with that later on. But I just have to say, when you were working on your creative team, did you guys have food? Was that a part of that whole team spirit?
Prairie Home has the best catering on any show that I've worked on.
All right. And I'm going to stop you there because I'm going to challenge that a little bit because actually I'm going to say that the Shire's audio drama team has some of the best food because we have Kowalski's here in Stillwater that provides us with our snacks. And so we get all kinds of goodies thanks to Kowalski. So thank you, Kowalski's.
Thank you.
And our kids have a little something they want to say to Kowalski's. So we're just going to, I'm going to have Jenna play that clip.
What do you think of those chocolate chip cookies?
Thanks, Kowalski's.
Well, just so you know, I don't have catering at my house. And that's where Kowalski's comes in for me because I go to the one in St. Paul on Grand Avenue.
Oh, well, and that's a mighty fine one. I've been to that one, too, because, you know, when you carpool kids, you end up everywhere in the city. So, good. I'm glad you like Kowalski's because they are going to continue to provide snack to the audio drama team. And I am delighted to say that Alan is going to help us produce a radio play this summer that we're hoping to record live in front of a studio audience. And now I am just going to shift gears here a little bit to say thank you to some very special people, Debbie and Tim Swanson. It is because of their generosity that we are able to do this interview today with Alan. They are sponsoring the interview with you, Alan, and they're big supporters of art, and they're very happy to do it. So a big shout out to Debbie and Tim. Thanks, Debbie and
Tim. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you got your money's worth with me.
Well, they're also sponsoring the student section, so they get double the impact. So we're going to shift gears here and move on out. You are listening to Voices in the Valley on KLBB Radio, 1220 AM. This is Steph at theshireonline.com here on KLBB 1220 AM. You've joined us for our barn raising moment, where members of the community share their expertise, just like neighbors did in the olden days. Today's guest is real estate consultant Wendy Gimple. Wendy, help, SOS. I've only been living in my condo for, I think, just over a year and a half, and I already have clutter. And now with March and the rains, I really need to do some spring cleaning. So how do I start? What do I do? How do I get rid of it?
Well, I find that hard to believe because I know you.
It's true.
But when you made your move, you had a lot of things you had to go through at that point. So I hope that things that you brought with you to the condo made the cut. So you love them, you appreciate them. When you touch them or see them, they bring you joy, or you know why you kept them. So if there's things in your home now that you have, it's probably for a good reason. And if you're bringing things in that are new, sometimes it's a good idea to take something old out.
So,
yeah, that can be really hard for people. But if you're short on space, you know, sometimes things just have to go. You can't keep everything.
Okay, so that's helpful to go back to those packing days, because I do remember, well, as you well know, I have an enormous number of books. And part of what I needed to find in a condo, which is a big challenge, is a place that could store all of my books on beautiful bookshelves, because I valued them so much. And I remember when I was packing, I would pack my books and I would have this sense of, friend, you're going with me.
And some people feel that way about shoes.
Okay, so that's a tip out there then for people, right?
Yeah.
So those things that when you, let's say you open up a closet and it's really messy and you take something off the shelf and you go, oh, I love you, then you keep that.
Yep, and if you have a sweater from high school that's crusty and gross, you get rid of it. Some people literally have things in their closet that are 10 years old and they haven't worn or used. They do not bring joy. Maybe they're a size that no longer fits or reminds them of a bad breakup. I mean, literally, there are millions of reasons to get rid of something. There's also great reasons to keep something. And my rule is, if you have not worn it in 6 months or in the previous season, pass it along to someone else who needs it. Also, if you haven't used it in a year, it's probably time to just get rid of it.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And just real quickly, what about documents? Because the other thing is I have stacks and stacks of paper everywhere. What's a good way to file those?
Well, I am a person who goes through my mail every single day. So when a mail comes in, it either gets recycled or filed or where it needs to be. So I don't have piles and piles only because I can't live that way. It makes me crazy. So either it gets filed where it needs to go or recycled or shredded. Just get rid of it. And if it needs to be kept, then you need to have a spot for it.
Well, that is very helpful. And, you know, I'm not sure I want you over to my house in the near future. but I'm inspired. I'm inspired for sure.
It feels good.
Thank you, Wendy, so much for sharing your expertise on Voices in the Valley. And listening audience, for more tips like these, come and listen to us every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. at the Club 1220. And in the meantime, go online to wendygimple.com or give Wendy a call at 651-214-7796. Wendy, I'm going to repeat that. 651-214-7796 if you have any questions or if you have a real estate transaction that you would like to do with Wendy.
Give me a call. I would love to help you out.
And in the meantime, I'll have her over despite the clutter.
I would love that.
Thanks, Wendy.
Yep, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome, Adam and Emma. Adam is an eighth grader at Salem Lutheran, and Emma's in 10th grade at Keystone Online. And Alan, both of these lovely students, are in our audio drama team and going to be in our radio play. We just held our auditions. Maybe Adam and Emma, you'd like to share what you auditioned for?
I auditioned for Calvin, who's a cat. You know, good to.
I like it.
Is it a tabby?
I'm not sure what kind of cat it is. I should figure that
out. We have this thing called Theater of the Mind. So in my mind, it's a tabby cat. But in my friend sitting next to me in the audio drama team, it could be something completely different. So it's kind of up to the listener.
Yes. And Emma, what are you hoping to? What role do you hope to have?
I tried out for Andromeda and Silence, the narrator. I tried out for Violet and.
And you got all three parts?
Yeah, I'm that good. No.
They're still waiting to hear Alan. They don't know. And, you know, Adam and Emma, you probably already know this, but Alan has quite a bit of experience with radio plays. So I'm going to turn it over to you so you can find out all about that.
Awesome. So this is really great because we're embarking on this radio exploration.
Adventure.
So we were wondering, what's it like to put together a radio show?
Well, it's a process. First of all, you need words on a piece of paper or script to actually bring it alive first. So obviously, and you're not doing something that's already been written, my understanding is, you're doing something from total scratch, your imagination. Is that correct?
That's true.
And just quickly, what is it themed around?
It's about a passive-aggressive town based off of our own Stillwater, Minnesota.
And that is a Minnesotan trait. I'm not from Minnesota. I'm from New York, and we don't have passive. We just go straight to aggressive.
And that's kind of the theme here, is playing off silence and how is it like to not share what you're feeling and just let it bubble up.
Well, very good. And hopefully this might help people express more.
Right.
So, and my understanding is, so you're writing it, so you have a writing team. Is everyone involved in this?
We have a audio drama team, which has been writing it for the past month. And recently, we've just finished the script, so we've auditioned a bunch of actors, and some of the writers also auditioned for roles. So it's kind of a mixed bag of people.
Well, that's great. Now, you know, of course, that's the beginning process. And after you finally get your final script, which I'm sure will be revised as you go along, we have to then start including the all the supporting elements. And one of the things that we'll be talking about when we get together post-show is sound effects, because this is radio. They don't see us, unless, of course, they come live to the place where we're recording it, which is also a lot of fun for the audience to see the process of putting together a show. But sound effects are very important to a show because, again, it is adds texture. So if you're talking about nighttime and crickets, well, it's better if you hear the crickets.
Right.
And that, just in the background, that paints a picture to the listening audience. It isn't just the words. It's setting that whole scene. And the sound effects actually work, obviously, when in the story you actually tell people a little bit of what's happening. If you hear a knock, you might say, oh, someone's at the door.
Right.
So that knock alone, without saying someone's at the door, guess what? It's just a knock. So the whole process of sound effects and dialogue have to sort of work together. And that's something that we'll be working as we get further on in the process. The other thing we need to do is develop characters with distinct voices. And I'm sure you'll be, well, a cat has a distinct voice, right? He doesn't sound like a dog. But not just that. It's also about developing a personality. The characters have to have a distinct personality, not just for themselves, but to distinguish when you're listening on the radio as a listener. You might have three, maybe four voices at a given time. Shouldn't go more than that. It's hard to follow when you're listening, but it makes it a lot easier if each voice has its own characteristic, whether it's the sound, whether it's the style of talking, and the writing for that should be geared to that personality. Not everyone has the same vocabulary, right, in many ways. So those are, it's a process that's going to continue, not just with the script, not just with the casting of the actors, and it will lead up, and it's a process that, well, we have what, a few months to get, yeah, ready. Shows that I've worked on, you basically have a day before to rehearse, and
wow,
you do the show during, you rehearse during the day of, and then do the show. So we have a little bit of a cushion, but then again, this is your first time, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a big adventure.
And hopefully not the last.
Oh, yeah. We really hope that. It'd be really fun to continue our little series on.
And I understand we're going to have music, live music as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A really talented girl named Penelope composed this great piece of music that'll be our theme song at the beginning.
And perhaps what I would love to see, and it's also adds texture, is during the show, we also have some underbed music done live, hopefully, also to help segues from scene to scene. And again, I have not seen it yet, but I'm assuming it takes place in various places, or is it just straight through one?
Yeah, it has several different locations, and one of the things that as the audio drama team we're trying to decide is how would you transition from scene to scene? What would you suggest?
Well, it's an age-old thing in radio. You use music to make those transitions, and you can do based on the type of music you're doing, and also eventually maybe starting it with some sound effect to define the place. If it's on a street, car sounds and stuff. If it's out in the woods, you know, natural sounds as well. So that's the way you do it.
So while you're, you know, making your radio shows, what's your favorite snack to have while you're working?
Well, my favorite snack is the Toll House chocolate chip cookie, the fresh ones, not the ones that are out of like been hanging out there, but I like a fresh cookie, soft.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, Ellen, I just have to insert that the audio drama team, when they held their auditions on Saturday, thanks to Kowalski's, our snack was soft, fresh chocolate chip cookies.
And yet I wasn't invited.
You know, that was a big mistake on my part, but you know what? Next time you will be. You will be there, and we'll make sure those cookies are not only yummy, but hot. So,
and ice cold milk.
And ice cold milk. Okay, so thanks to Kowalski's, I will soon be visiting their Stillwater store to be buying ice cold milk, fresh hot cookies, and bringing them for our audio drama team to enjoy as they work hard to put together a radio drama. So the prologue of our radio drama, One Day in Edelin, will play on April 9th. So make sure you listen to that. And then episode one, which will be almost a half hour episode, will be what we'll be putting together this summer. So lots of fun there. I want to thank you, Ellen, so much for joining us today. It's just so interesting, everything that you have to say. And we really appreciate as well the support that we were given by Debbie and Tim Swanson. They're patrons of Voices in the Valley. And, you know, if you feel your heart tugging at your wallet, then email me, Steph, at the Shire Online, and I'll gladly accept any money you want to send to Voices in the Valley so we can keep on doing productions like this. But now I am going to close us out. Also say a special thank you to WendyGimple.com. Thanks to Wendy, real estate consultant extraordinaire, for sponsoring Voices in the Valley. You can find out how to list your home and attract the best buyer by connecting with Wendy on WendyGimple.com. Next week, we will have internationally acclaimed author Brian Freeman joining us, and also local editor Tracy Post. They're going to be talking about the editor and the creative writing process, and they'll have lots of interesting things to share. So we're glad you joined us for Voices in the Valley here on KLBB 1220 AM. Now go and write.
Voices in the Valley is a production of the Shire Literary Center. Connect into creative writing classes, writing clubs, and other opportunities at theshireonline.com. Bye-bye.